This message today that I'm going to be talking about, I was inspired to make this from a guy in the barbershop. A few months ago, I was in the barbershop, and the guy asked me a question. And first of all, I'll tell you why he asked me a question. When I'm in the barbershop, guess who I'm always talking about?
Jesus.
That's right. I'm always talking about Jesus. I'm telling people they need to go to church and so on and so forth. And finally, there was a guy sitting. Of course, you know, when I talk loud enough for everybody in the barbershop to hear me. I don't want to cut anybody short, so I'm just not talking to the guy that's cutting my hair. I want everybody on all four or five chairs to be able to hear what I'm saying, because I want them to hear about Jesus. Because some of them, that may be the only time they ever hear about Jesus. And so anyway, the guy that was sitting over on the far side over, he said, after I spoke a little while, talked a little while, he said, I got a question for you. I said, okay. He said, what day of the week do you go to church? I said, every day of the week. He said, no. I know you have to have a special day of the week. And I said, well, okay, yeah, we actually have church service on Sunday. But I said, I worship God 7 days a week. He said, that's what I thought. He said, you're one of them Sunday Christians. He said, if you really knew anything about the Bible, you would know you got to keep the law and you'd have to serve him on Saturday. That's the only day of the week you're legal. And I thought to myself, I asked the man a question. I said, sir, when's the last time you read Romans 5, 6, and 8? Why? He said, I've read it. I said, well, have you read it lately? Well, no. I said, when's the last time you read 1 Corinthians 9? He said, well, I don't know. I said, when's the last time you read Galatians 4 and 5 and Colossians 1 and 2? He said, well, it's been a while. I said, okay. I said, I'm not even going to argue with you or nothing. I'm just going to say, when you get home tonight, I would suggest you start out with Colossians chapter 1 and read all of it, and then go to Colossians chapter 2 and read all of that. And if you don't find your answer to the question you just asked me in those two chapters, you've got a problem. And I said, the answer is not what you think it is. I said, so be open-minded. Now then, how many times have you heard somebody say, you have to keep the Sabbath? Have you heard people say that? Hey, I've heard it all my life. You know, but, you know, I went to church, and I never went to church on Saturday. I went to church on Sunday. I didn't know why I went to church on Sunday. I just went to church on Sunday. But now I know why I go to church on Sunday. Now I know why I worship on Sunday. So I want us to talk a little bit about this. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we talk about your word today, I ask you to reveal to us the truth of your word, that you have truly set us free. Lord, I have freedom, and you tell me I'm free, and you explain it to me in great detail, so help us to be able to really understand what the Word of God says, and bless us as we read and study your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll start out with Colossians chapter 1, and I want to start at verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 23. Colossians 12 through 23 in the King James. Well, we can read them in the King James. We might come back and read some of these in the NLT, but I'm going to stick primarily with the King James on this. That's what I studied it all in. The NLT and the King James, as far as I'm concerned, on these scriptures today, all say the same exact thing. Some of them might be a little bit clearer to some of you if you read it in the NLT, but the NLT is a good translation. But never read just one single translation of God's Word. You know, don't try to build a doctrine on just one translation. If you study the NLT or if you go to the New King James or whatever, you know, you need to read everything around both the King James and whatever other translation you read. Because there is a lot. I used to use the NIV a lot to teach out of. I taught out of it for 7 or 8 years. Saw God do all kinds of miracles out of the NIV. But then I found out that it had several verses left completely out. That was extremely important, I thought, so I quit teaching out of the NIV just for that reason. Now, did I see God do miracles in the NIV? Yes, lots of them. So, but I know there is some things that's in error or that's primarily left out of the NIV. So I primarily now use the King James mostly, and then, of course, I use the NLT quite a bit too. But starting with verse 12 in the Colossians chapter 1, it says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, if we really get a hold of what giving thanks to the Father is because He's made us fit to be in the kingdom, you know, that would, you ought to just be praising and worshiping the King every day because of what He did for you. You didn't have nothing to do with it except accept Him as Lord and Savior. He paid the total price and everything. So verse 13 and 14, we'll go on here in verse 13 and 14, says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" In other words, this is something we don't like to see or we don't like to talk about. Somebody says, well, you know, your little children act like little devils. Well, let me tell you, they are little devils. You know, they're lost, you know, and until they come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're in the kingdom of darkness. So people say, you know, that woman's or that man's children, they're so mean and they act like little devils. Well, I mean, that's what they are. But, you know, no Christian likes for somebody to come up and say, you know, your child is a little devil. You don't really want to hear that. But you know that's true. You know, but anyway, here in the Scripture, it clearly says, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. So if He's delivered us from the power of darkness, obviously we were under the power of darkness. So all of us have been under the power of darkness. You know, I hate to tell you this, but I don't care how sweet your babies are, they were under the power of darkness. That's just the way it is, isn't it? But we were also under the power of darkness. And it says, when we come to know Jesus, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and then He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So that's something else that is difficult for us to grasp. We talk about being translated. We'd love for God to translate us, but according to the Word, He has already translated us and seated us in heavenly places with Him. Can you think of a better place to be than to be translated into the kingdom of God? You know, you're already there. I mean, somebody says, who are you? Say, I'm a son of God. I'm delivered from the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God. You know, I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places. They may think you're a little crazy, but if you don't believe those things, you'll not see God do very many supernatural miracles for you. When you realize you're not in the kingdom of darkness no more, and you have already been translated into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. There's that word redemption again. We talked about redemption at the healing school yesterday. Only thing we talked about redemption yesterday was redeemed from the curse. The word redemption is used in two different places in God's Word. One of them is in the redemption of sin, and the other one is redemption from the curse. In both cases, it means Jesus paid the price for something you can't pay the price for. So if Jesus redeemed you from the curse of sin, Jesus redeemed you from sin by the blood, He also redeemed you from the curse of the law. So the average person today has figured out, once they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they were redeemed from sin. If they studied the Word at all, somewhere in there God has shown them, I have delivered you by the power of my blood, my Son, from sin. And so they get a hold of that, but does that mean they stop sinning? Most Christians still don't stop sinning. They just keep right on sinning. They just don't understand who they are. But He has redeemed us not only from sin, but He's redeemed us from the curse. So when you get a hold of the fact that you're redeemed, you're this free. You're so free, it's just absolutely mind-boggling that Jesus has redeemed you from sin, so you don't have to sin no more. Every time you sin now, being redeemed from sin, it's a conscious choice. That's sad, that I make the wrong choice too often. I know some of us do. We make the wrong choice, and we choose to sin. And also, if we knew we're redeemed from sin, we don't have to sin no more. And if we know we're redeemed from the curse, we don't have to be sick no more. You know, that's, I mean, I just told somebody the story a little while ago about a little boy that stood right here just a few months ago that was 13 years old, that his eyes had never developed. He couldn't focus on words at no range. He could see, but he couldn't focus. And when they came up for prayer after a healing school, I asked his mother, I said, how old's the boy? She said, 13. I said, what's wrong with him? She said, his eyes have never developed, so he can't focus on words. I asked the simple question. I said, did you and your husband have sex before you got married? And of course, she said, yes. She said, we really didn't realize the consequences of sex before marriage until we got a hold of your teaching about 6 months ago. And when we learned the consequences, we have both repented for what we did. Now, this is a beautiful part about God, Rosemary. When you ask God to forgive you, what does He do? He does. Of course He does. He forgives you every time. And that's something else that we forget, because so many of us say, oh, God, I'm so sorry I did this. And then tomorrow you're on the doorstep again. God, I'm sorry I did that. Your child is still sick. You don't know how to get free. And so by not knowing how to get free, you can repent every day and it makes no difference. You can still be sick. But just like the little boy, once she told me that her and her husband had repented for their sin, I said, now then, the source of the curse has been removed. It was sin. So they've repented. I said, now then, Jesus redeemed you from the curse. And I commanded the demons that went with the curse to leave the little boy's eyes. And I asked the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit and restore his little eyes and make them perfect in the name of Jesus. And then I said, thank you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name. And the minute I said thank you, now, is thank you important? You know, God says everything you do it with thanksgiving. So until I said, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, nothing happened. But the very second I said, thank you, the little boy screamed out, Mama, I can read all those words on the board up there. Never before had he been able to do that, but our Lord instantly healed that little guy right there because I knew he had been redeemed from the curse. So it says here, He's delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So by being translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, as we're translated into that, the blood of Jesus removes all sin from our life, doesn't it? We are totally free and we have no sin in our life. If we could just stay there. Verse 15 and 16, let's see what it says. Who is the image? Jesus, of course, is who we're talking about. He is the image of the invisible God.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, We Are Free Indeed, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.